Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the LEGIONPODCAST. I am Murray, and this week I am the chief officer of cupboards. Well, cupboard. I'm changing ugly parts by installing a reversed door. I spent a week up at the lake, and last year at the end of the season, I thought, it's time to update the look of the cottage. Bring it out of the 70s and into the roaring 20s. So I thought I would just change the door handles on the cupboards and change the hinges, take away the, like, we had, like, black metal country western hinges and handles. You'd look at it and you'd think, like, Ponderosa or something, like, It was just time. Time.
I used to like that restaurant as a kid.
I'm thinking you meant like, you know, Bonanza's Ponderosa, but you know, as soon as you say Ponderosa, I'm immediately like thinking of the of the salad bar, cool as a cucumber, hot as a pepper.
I'm thinking of the ice cream thing they have where you can get the ice cream machine.
Exactly, and the steak and fries served on the silver plate.
Yes.
Just thinking of the decor.
That's true. That's true.
That would probably be more appropriate, I guess, with a cabinet and stuff.
And I figured it wasn't going to be hard. Like, just pop off some handles, some new handles on, replace the hinges. I figured that was within my limited ability as a fixer upper, but
that's fair.
Yeah, I quickly learned that those handles had been on so long that they had like you could take them off, but you can't remove like the sun stain of the shape of the handle.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, what you're gonna get is something that's gonna be smaller than that.
Exactly. Yeah. So there was. I mean, I tried sanding, I tried stripping, I tried recover, like, everything I tried was just, it did not work. So I just decided, with the help of my father-in-law, that I would just flip the cupboard doors so that the back is the front and the front is now the inside. And that sort of does the trick, except hanging cupboard doors is, putting on handles is easy. I can do that. I manage that. Although I learned drill from the front, not from the back. And I wish I had learned that before I had drilled through every single cupboard door. Because these cupboard doors are like particle boards with like a thin veneer of pine over top of them. So it would go through the particle board quickly and then just kind of push at the pine until the pine kind of splintered. So it would have been better to have that on the inside instead of the outside. But, you know, live and learn. Live and learn.
Indeed.
And then I found, oh my gosh. And I found so many tricks for I was the only one doing it. So what should have been a two-person job, like hold this steady while I drill and screw, there was no one there to hold steady. So I had I had so many like little boxes and pieces of woods and like every cupboard door was kind of precariously balanced on something while I drilled a hole and then screwed it in and then realized that although they were like, the cupboard doors looked beautiful. If you opened them and then tried to close them, they couldn't close because I screwed them together too close. So then I had to like, anyway, I learned a lot. I'm ready to be a cabinet hanger-upper.
Yeah, ready to be the next Mike Holmes, right?
Totally. I am ready. I'm ready to rent out my services.
Bring it. That's awesome.
Yep. I can have a TV show.
I tried doing that. I tried renting out my services in college. Didn't work out very well.
that's a whole different story.
Hey, yeah. I was young and needed the money.
As long as you made some, that's all good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
$1.45.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. All right. Well, that's me.
Awesome. Well, folks, I am Paul French, and today I am the director of Snyder Cut.
Oh, not, no.
Not that one. Not that one.
How many Snyder Cuts are there?
Yeah, the Snyder Cut, not that one. Something new you don't expect, right? Can't underestimate this. Now, oh no, to be totally honest, American Vampire trades over nearly everything else. I have been rereading American Vampire. Different Snyder. I fooled you, Al. I have been one of the very few things that is in my pull list when such things are accessible is the new American Vampire 1976 series. And so in preparation for eventually getting around to reading that, I have a shelf full of the rest of the American Vampire trades. I have read most of them, but not all of them, because it seems every time I go to read one, there's been enough time in between, like the last time I got one, where I end up starting the series right from the beginning. So I have read volume one at least 7 or 8 times. And have kind of read through a bunch of them, but have not got as far as volume 7 and 8. And obviously this new one. So I'm going through a much more focused reread where I'm not allowing myself to, I'll get to the next volume eventually, because that all that ends up is meet me in a few more months reading volume one again. And it's okay though, because that's the those first stories are pretty great, and you get the Stephen King backups in there as well.
Right.
Yeah. So I love the series. So, and honestly, like, getting to look at all that Raphael Albuquerque artwork again, it's no hardship. Yes, I do plan on getting through to the current series and doing that soon, and so I am I've been cranking through them over the last week. So
right,
that's
on.
That's my kind of Snyder Cut, one where Skinner's sweet makes people bleed.
Right on. I read I think the first couple of trades years ago.
Yeah. And it was a long time ago. I mean, it was 10, 11 years ago, I think, when it came out.
Yeah.
Jim Miller got me into it, and he said, we were talking one day, and he said, you would really like this series, because it hits so many things that you're into, and he was right. I love it. It's fantastic. So
you're a fan of Americans and vampires.
They have.
Yes, I am.
Yes, all of those things. Yeah, I think it was like an old, old Hollywood movies. And he's like, oh, that first volume especially is right up your alley. Because it's all, you know, old, the talkies are coming.
Yeah.
Oh, those damn talkies screwing everything up.
Oh, they messed everything up. How's a fella gonna earn money with a voice like this? And you know, asked Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, he's done all right for himself.
He's done all right, so there you go.
All right, guess it's my turn.
It is indeed.
I'm Al, and this week I am an agent of Rents, recovering eventually, now that that's one word, silent. For two reasons. One, because my parents just left after being here for the past 5 days, so the house feels a lot quieter now that there's two less people in it. And it's weird getting back to your regular schedule now. You're like, oh yeah, I don't have company here. I don't have to be entertaining and stuff.
That's
and
right.
Also because I couldn't think of good words to go with P or E.
No, that's fair.
So it's Rents.
Oh, Rents with like, I getcha. You're young. You're hip.
Yes, yes. Let's say you feel a young person.
Greetings, fellow teenagers.
That's right.
Yeah, next week I'll be a member of Jump Street, but for now.
Right on. Well, I've got no clever segue, so we're just going to dive right into Legion 92, number 39. Yeah. With an amazing cover by Kevin McGuire and Carl Kiesel. It's got everything. It's got Doc's looking doxy. It's got what's his name, God, sitting on his big God chair with little lovelies hanging all over him. It's got the team in the background shooting things. It's got his little dragon. It's got everything.
Is it me, or is it the one that the two girls hanging on him, the one that's on, well, if you're looking at the right side, kind of looks like a Little Mermaid from Global Guardians.
maybe kind of.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
Maybe it's also because the only time I can remember seeing her is possibly from like an early JLI issue where she was briefly drawn by McGuire.
Oh, right, McGuire. Right.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Alrighty, so we are wrapping up the Traitor storyline. We open up. We got a big splash page of the team duking it out with all of Max God's goons.
God's goons. Oh, that's my gosh. Right. Such a great spinoff.
Right on. Strata is picking one of them up and says, this is a message for Max God, creeps. Tell him Legion's here, and it is payback time.
Ooh, careful. Careful, Strata. That's dangerously close to copyright infringement.
That's right.
We're going to clobber them.
That's right. Yes, it's a script by Alan Grant, co-plotting with Barry Kitson on pencils. Inks are also by Kitson and Robin Smith. Colors, Laverne Kinzierski. Letters, Gaspar is back.
Gaspar!
And editing by Bad Dan Rassler.
You know Stratus pissed because, you know, she's speaking in caption font.
That's right.
That's right.
Or title font, I should say.
It's not just payback. It is payback time.
Indeed.
Then we get a double page splash, which is pretty cool. We get the whole team duking it out there, kind of in like long vertical panels. They've been cheated, tricked, betrayed, and ambushed. They've doubted each other, fought amongst themselves, and the dream they all believed in had been savagely ripped to shreds. But now they know who is their real enemy, and their pent-up fury of months has finally found its legitimate target. So they're all battling like crazy. Lady Quark is saying, "Forward, Legion, no quarter, no mercy. Teach these criminal scum the meaning of justice." Telepath we know is working because his hands are on his head.
Yes, exactly.
The international symbol of telepathy.
that brow is furrowed.
Totally. Furrowed brow, hands on head. Max God's goons are saying, we can't let them out of the space yard. Shoot to kill and make every shot count. FaZe is telling Captain Comet, there's snipers on the balcony. And he says, leave it to me, FaZe. I'll settle their murdering hash. And he flies up and knocks the balcony to pieces. God is asking his troops, how goes the battle? And they're telling him it's going badly. I don't think our guys can keep them penned up for long. A pity I have no more super beings to use against them. No matter, we'll have to make do with what we have. You've been issued the new nerve weapons. Right here, sir, and we're ready to use them. Good. Then go to, and remember, a 10,000 credit bonus to every man who kills a legionnaire. And in the background, we hear a little bit of scree, scree, screeing from his dragon pet. And he goes to visit little Rebel. I know you're hungry, but you'll just have to wait. And Rebel is not happy about that. All right. But I can't spare you any live food. Every man is needed for the fight. You'll just have to make do with frozen. Oh, no.
Oh.
This is tragic. Frozen food for the dragon. So he opens up his little cupboard, his little freezer pack, and pulls out a couple of torsos, frozen. And just as he's grabbing one, Dox comes and meets with him. I've been looking for you, God. Who dares?
Oh, well, see, because you got these sides of meat hanging there. Docs has been going full Rocky, totally. As we're going to see in a moment.
Totally.
Because he's not only full Rocky, he's also full Rambo.
Exactly.
And you never go full Rambo.
No.
He's beating up the sides of Long Pig.
Oh, dear. So we got the next page, and there's Docs. He's got guns all over. His shirt's been torn off. He is
full Rambo.
Full Rambo.
Yeah, actually, that third panel definitely does look like a Rambo page. I mean, just change the color, and it's a Rambo comic.
Right on. Right on.
Adrian! Wrong
one. Troutman!
Yes. Wow.
I know the truth, God. I know that Ignea was the Legion traitor and that she's had me in some kind of mental thrall, and I know you're behind the attempts to wipe us out. And God is for once like a little shaky. He's like, don't do anything hasty, Docs. My men will win this battle. My offer still stands. Join me. You'll be my right-hand man. Together we can. I don't make deals with scum. I ought to kill you now, gun you down like the power-mad brute you are. But that's a pleasure I'll forego. And he rips some wires out of the wall, and he quickly ties up God. You're going to stand trial for every crime you've ever committed. And when they hang you, I'll be in the front row.
And by the way, I just realized it's probably also important, besides just the fact that God's there, he has, like, blood on his shirt from the meat that he was picking up.
Yeah.
I think that's another reason why what happens later happens.
For sure.
Yes.
For sure. Yes. So Docs kind of blows up the communication system. As for your men winning, they'll find it harder with no communications from their leader. He blows it up, explodes, and we get a silhouette of Rebel in the background. Well, the foreground, actually. He is hungry, man. He's screeching and crying and needing his food. It's all over for you, God. Your empire is crumbling. You will never put it together again. Don't go away. I'll be back for you. And Docs leaves just as Rebel breaks out of its cage. And God says, Rebel, good boy. Sit now. Sit. And Rebel is staring at his master, none too pleased.
Yeah.
Look at those snappers.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Crunching and munching. However, we'll come back to God later. Right now, we're checking in with the rest of the team, and they are bashing through the hallways. It's been an age since they fought with each other instead of against, and it feels good to be a team again. FaZe is telling them all to stay together. We're going to flush out the resistance one group at a time. And everyone understand this. I want Max God taken alive. Stratus says, FaZe and other of God's goon squads. I'll take them. Pucker up, Rocky, says one of the goons. See if you talk so big when your nervous system's jangled by these little babies. And they use their nerve weapons, and Legionnaires and Strata go down, trembling and screaming and... they're in pain. Dear Lord, it's like they're having epileptic seizures. Stealth, get down. And Strata protects her, but of course get hit gets hit. Stay low, says Strata. Those guns are affecting everyone. And Quark says, mortal filth. Concentrate your fire on me. Lady Quark fears not the puny blasts of cowards. Let us see if you can take punishment as well as you dish it out. And she blasts them like banana cakes. FaZe asks how Strata is. And Stealth says she's conscious, but only just. And so FaZe tells Stealth to stay with Strata. And we check in on a view screen, and all of God's goons are trying to decide what they're going to do, because they are being massacred. God's finished. We should save our own skins. But we can't. If Mr. God wins, he'll hunt us down. If it takes him forever, he'll have us all killed. What's our alternative? Die at the hands of Legion? Surrender and be executed for our crimes? You can all do as you please. Me, I'm out of here. So they all start running for the shuttlecraft to escape. And we check in with Ignia, who's going to see her dad. Father, I don't like this. I can't find Docs. I think he might be up to something. And she steps into his little room and she says, Father, are you there? No, no, no. And she sees that her father has been eaten by Rebel.
Yeah, he is. Nom, nom, nom. Yeah, he is lunch.
Totally. Yeah, there's not much left. He's got a head and some intestines, and that's about it.
Should not have worn that Dragon Chow underwear.
No, not at all. She does not have very long to grieve, however, because Docs steps up behind her and grabs her by the hair. Upset, are you? I'm surprised you know what real emotion is. And she tries using her whammy jammy powers on him. Vril, darling, I'm sorry about your father. It wasn't what I planned, although I doubt anyone ever deserved it more. Unless it's you. And he holds his gun right up to her little cheek. Vril, no, you don't want to hurt me. You love me. We're going to be married, remember? Put the gun down, Vril. Hold me. Love me. And she's staring at him, and he's staring at her. And then he just smiles. It won't work, Ignia. I've broken your spell for good. You can't. Nobody can. And then she realizes that, of course, he has. All right, but I'm still a pyrokine. I'll fry you. And her eyes start to get all fiery. Not before I pull the trigger. And we both die, and my father's plan will still be fulfilled. Very well, lover, let's party. And so we get a stalemate. She's staring at him, he's staring at her, the gun is up, her eyes are all flamey. And that's when we check in on the rest of the team. The Grokbokkers are beat. FaZe, it's just a question of mopping them up now, says Garen. Don't speak too soon, Garen. Behind you, as someone comes up with a big glowing stick, sword, something nasty.
Saber of some type.
Totally. However, Garb comes and punches him out. Don't you worry, I'm keeping an eye out for you. Nice going, Garb. Thanks, big buddy. You know, it feels great to be in action again. Yeah, kind of like coming home, isn't it? Maybe we could save the philosophy guys. The show's not quite over yet, and Lady Quark is still blasting people like crazy. It soon will be FaZe. These thugs have nothing left to give. And Mary Jane is arresting people and leading them off to their prison cells. I've never seen such a bunch of downcast hoodlums. Cheer up, guys. At least you know you'll be getting a fair trial.
Did she steal that gun from Cable? Because that thing is like the size right? of her body.
It is huge. Yeah.
She shoots that, she'll like, I don't know, she'll like fall over, fall, like fly backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the 90s. Big guns.
Yeah.
Big guns are coming.
BFGs.
Very true.
FaZe says, now all we need to do is locate our somewhat less than illustrious ex-leader. Telepath puts his hands to his forehead. I have a rough fix on his brain patterns. That-a-way. Follow me, says Captain Comet. And as he's flying along, he's seeing that there's plenty of bodies. Someone has been busy. Docs. And Docs is just sitting in the dark. I'm glad you're all right. You are all right, aren't you? I'm alive. I'll settle for that. And Max God, he's dead and eaten. What about Igneous's face? She escaped, says Docs. And we get a real close-up on his face. And since it's Docs, we're not sure whether we're going to believe him. But at this point, he's saying she escaped. And in case any of you are wondering, I no longer love her. That's over. Ignea has a very special talent. As well as her pyrokinetic ability, she can trigger things in people's minds. She can play on any latent feeling, hatred, say, and turn her victim into a murderer. It works with love as well, which is why I was so blind to everything that was going on. Then I guess we owe you an apology for the way we treated you. Yeah, it wasn't your fault if you were being controlled. Not controlled, says Docs. Ignea can only use feelings that are there already. Only dormant. She gives them a kickstart. She's the most dangerous foe we've ever faced. Someday, somewhere, we will meet her again. We? Who's this we, says Strata? You dissolved Legion, remember? Maybe deep down there is a part of me that wants to be free of Legion, even now. But I can't leave you all like this. There's one hell of a mess to clean up. And the sooner we start, the sooner we finish. Legion lives. And he puts on his handy-dandy Legion glove. And FaZe says, Vril, this time there are going to have to be changes. Whatever you want, FaZe. All I care about is getting this show back on the road. And he walks off all doxy. And we check in on the recruits who are still sitting in their Heroes for Hire office. They're still sitting around their big round table and their telephone rings. Every time I see that phone, it just kills me. Because it's like, it's a phone with like a phone cord. Like it's.
But it's in space.
It's a space phone. With a space phone cord. And it's ringing. It could be our first job, or the landlord, or another wrong number. Well, says Lydia, there's only one way we're going to find out. So she answers it. Heroes for Hire, how may we help? FaZe, Legion is back in business. You want us to come back? I'll see what the others think. And they are all giving it a thumbs up. So we will see more of the recruits. As we get back to Cairn, the news feeds are all covering the return of Legion. Station WBOK, live from Legion HQ on Cairn, where ex-commander Vril Docs is about to make an historic announcement. Peoples of the galaxy, friends. Oh, friends. When has he ever used that word?
Yes.
When it benefits him.
I guess so. Not long ago, I announced that Legion was dead. A traitor had infiltrated our ranks and turned us one against the other. I'm happy to say that in worming the traitor out, we discovered and closed down the largest criminal organization in this spiral arm. The success of that mission has led me to reconsider. As of today, Legion lives again in a giant poster page. Or what could be a poster page.
Yeah, with everybody.
Everybody. We got Docs, we got the regular team, we got the recruits. They're all standing there looking happy. They all have their little moment, except for poor old Garb, who's like stuck sitting behind Docs. Everybody else gets a little.
And the two cleaning ladies.
Yeah. Oh, I guess, is Beck there? I guess we don't see Beck.
You're right.
Poor Beck. Cut out of the poster.
He has nothing to whine about. What's he going to do?
Well, up till now, he's had nothing to whine about this issue. Now he's going to be complaining about FaceTime here.
Exactly.
Man. That's
cool. Yeah, because he was standing right behind FaZe in the previous page.
Oh, that is cold, man. Cold.
That's why she's doing the big, standing all fully up pose. She's trying to make sure she blocks out all that hair.
Yeah. Well, she's doing the Jim Rash doing his Angelina Jolie impression on the Oscars.
Right on.
Look, the legs out to the side. It totally is.
Yep. That is what she is doing. All right, so Legion is back. And then we get a final page wrapping everything up. Lobo has made it back to Cairn. I never thought I'd be glad to see this pig hole mudball again. I just can't figure what happened to the Iceman scent. I'm going to have to make Docs help me track that bastich. No welcome in committee? Surprise, surprise, main man. Bet the chumps never even missed ya. So he lands. Amend statement one. The place looks every bit as boring as it always did. Traffic control to Faze, you asked us to let you know when Officer Lobo got back. So she goes to meet Lobo and he's like, yo, spooky. So, what's new? Anything happened while I was away? Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. You missed a big fight.
Yeah, just a big one.
Mm-hmm. You could have killed a bunch of people.
Totally. So we get our little next issue blurb. Alan Grant retires, Barry Kitson goes power mad, and Legion kicks B-U-T-T. I'm pretty sure this is the last Alan Grant issue. He gives us a little goodbye letter in the letters page.
Oh.
Yeah, he says, Dear Bad Dan, please don't hurt me, I'll confess. I was the traitor. It was me who betrayed Legion. But it wasn't my idea, see? A high-ranking robot, my doctor, in fact, was behind the whole shtick. Give up caffeine, he told me. Shun tannin and saturated fats. Just say no to tobacco. Increase exercise, decrease stress. So, obedient as Pavlov's dog Rex, I did it. But the machines say it's not enough. They made me quit working so hard. I tried to tell them it's only 24 pages a month, man. And I tried to tell them, but I've been with the title since issue number one. No bueno, Dan. They didn't want to know. No tears in their eyes when Larissa Mallard died. They never laughed when Vril Dox's toilet blew up. They never wondered, what happened to the Derlin? There's only one bright spot, really. The doc said to make sure Barry Kitson replaced me as writer. I did, and he has, so at least I'm looking forward to being a new reader. B-E-S-T wishes all, Alan Grant. And then Dan Raspler confirms that, yes, Barry Kitson is going to be doing the writing and the artwork as of next issue.
Hooray.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
Hey, so, you know, last week we looked at Gaspar. So yes. Why don't we take a look at Alan Grant?
Why don't
look
we?
Look back at Alan Grant.
Look back, yes. You know, and he first, now this is wild. He first entered the comics industry in 1967.
Wow.
He was born in Bristol in England, and went to Newton Grange Primary School and Dalkeith High School, where he was frequently expelled and reinstated. he was born in 1949, which places his current age around 71, 72, depending on what month that would have been. Yep. So as I said, he became an editor for DC Thompson, not to be confused with DC Comics, which was a Scottish publishing and television production company. The ones that we would know would be like the Beano and the Dandy and that kind of thing. They're the ones that have kind of made it around here. So he worked there for a while and went to work in 1970 for IPC, which was basically kind of like the Time magazine of the UK, but they did Fleetway, which was a series of comics, like a syndicated comics kind of thing. And you hear about it every now and then when people talk about 2000 AD. Anyway. So he went to work for them on various romance magazines. And then he went back to college, had a series of jobs, and he found himself back in Dundee and living on Social Security. And that's when he met John Wagner. And John Wagner is another name that we would that we would see show up in American comics later on. He also did some 2000 AD and Doctor Who stuff, and the two of them kind of wrote together for a time as well. Sort of in that Robo Hunter stuff and the Strontium Dog, which for those who have read a lot of 2000 AD, that stuff will all sound familiar to you. So he met up with John Wagner, and they kind of helped each other out. John Wagner was another former DC Thompson editor who was putting together a new science fiction comic, which, you know, was called 2000 AD. So he asked Grant if he could help him write a Tarzan comic that he was working on. So they started working together. They needed to write a strip for Star-Lord, not the same one, much like my Snyder cut, different, which was a 2000 AD spinoff. And that's what got Grant noticed within the IPC group. And so kind of got him doing a lot more work with them. And so he did also would write the occasional issue of Future Shock and Black Hawk. Again, not the same guy. it gets confusing. And he also wrote for other IPC comics such as Eagle. Now, Eagle is another one that should may not be familiar to us, but you know, it is it's where Alan Moore first published some of the V for Vendetta stories.
Is that where also the, I'm assuming it would be Eagle Awards, the Eagle for Eagle Awards came from?
Might be. You might, Rabbit. I'm not 100% sure of that, but...
I'm going to check that while you go on.
Yes, it is indeed named after Eagle.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Never mind, I'm not going to check.
So save yourself the time, sir. around this time, and he's been working, as I said, on Robo Hunter, Strontium Dog, and these kind of things. And then he starts in the 80s writing some guy named Judge Dredd. Speaking of Stallone.
Right?
Yeah,
it all comes back.
We've had Rocky, we've had Rambo, and now we have Judge Dredd. He is the law. And so a lot of work there. Then in the late 80s, Grant and Wagner get moved into the American comic market. And their first title was a 12-issue series in 87 to 88 called Outcasts for DC Comics. Didn't do particularly well, but that's okay, because it paved the way for the two of them to write Batman. I don't know if you've heard of him. They wrote these stories together, John Wagner and Alan Grant, in Detective Comics starting around issue 583 in February of 88. So just before the movie. And largely working with Norm Breyfogle. Love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And Grant and Wagner actually introduced in their first Batman story the Ventriloquist, and in their third story the Ratcatcher. And then after a dozen issues, Wagner leaves, and Grant's kind of left on his own to write that. And so he was actually one of the main Batman writers from then until the late 90s. You know, he went through all of the Nightfall stuff, and we'll get to that shortly. But they also created a four-issue series for Epic Comics called The Last American. And this story, along with this Chopper storyline, is blamed for the breakup of the Wagner and Grant partnership. It gets tough, I guess. So in the 80s, he went through a philosophical transformation, declared himself an anarchist. And that's when he created the supervillain, you guessed it, Anarchy. Who was originally intended as a vehicle for him to explore his political opinions through the comics medium. And in the following years, he continued to utilize this character in a similar fashion as his philosophy evolved. So, at the start of the 90s, he's writing detective comics, Strontium Dog, the Boogeyman, which he was writing with, which was an independent thing he was writing with Wagner, and Lobo, who was, of course, a character created by Giffen and a supporting character in Omega Men. So, Lobo gets his own four-issue miniseries in 1990, which we've already talked about, and it was drawn by Simon Bisley, and it was a parody, of course, of the dark, gritty comics of the time, and proved to be hugely popular. After several other miniseries, all written by Grant, sometimes with Giffen as co-writer, Lobo received his own ongoing series. In addition, of course, Grant was writing Legion. Have you heard of it? And also the Demon, which was I think the one that Val Simex was drawing.
I think so.
So it would have been like the Clary and the Witch Boy stuff, which is totally on brand for Grant. And he wrote the first issues of the new Batman title, Batman Shadow of the Bat. If you remember that one.
I remember that came out, yeah.
Yeah, there were a few. That was, I think, Stelfreeze was the artist, at least on the first arc. And this saw him create three new characters, Jeremiah Arkham and Mr. Zatz and Amygdala. And he also, and this was in the story arc called Batman the Last Arkham. Later, of course, this led to him being one of the main writers during the Nightfall crossover. And then in 1994, he co-wrote the Batman Spawn War Devil intercompany crossover along with Doug Munch and Chuck Dixon. Other Batman storylines to which he contributed include Contagion, Legacy, and Cataclysm. And of course, he was working on a short-lived weekly title called Toxic, which came out from Apocalypse Limited, along with Pat Mills, Kevin O'Neill, and Wagner was in on that one as well. And kind of lost my space there. There we go. And he was also a consultant on the Judge Dredd magazine. He was very busy, as he's indicated, and due to the sheer volume of work he was doing, Grant let a new generation of writers try their hand on strips like Judge Dredd and Robo Hunter. This often proved to be unsuccessful, however, and Grant found himself again writing for 2080. In the mid-90s, he underwent a second philosophical transformation and declared himself a follower of Neotech, which was a philosophy created by Frank Wallace. So when he was given the opportunity to create an Anarchy miniseries, he redesigned the character accordingly. Following the success of the series, he was hired to create an ongoing monthly series for the character. And initially he was hesitant, but was persuaded to do so by his Anarchy co-creator and personal friend, Norm Breyfogle. Anarchy was sadly the series was mired by what Grant felt was constant editorial interference, and it became a critical and financial failure and was canceled after 8 issues. Although he really dislikes the 1999 series, he considers the original Anarchy miniseries that he did to be among his career highlights. By the end of the 90s, he had written for virtually every American publisher of comics, including DC, Marvel, and Dark Horse. In the 2000s, he got into writing scripts for animation as well as comics. He worked on cartoons of a character called Action Man, as well as some original anime titles. He remains the main writer for Judge Anderson and Robo Hunter, and has teamed up with Wagner they're still friends, for a new Boogeyman series for the Judge Dredd magazine. He also formed his own publishing company, Bad Press Limited, which released the humor title Shit the Dog, written by Grant and drawn by Simon Bisley. He's also one of few professional comics writers to contribute to fanzines such as Future Quake, and has also scripted the Scottish, the now defunct Scottish underground comic Northern Lights. That's Lights with a Z at the end, which means also that it's probably pretty extreme. Along with his wife, Sue, he organized the annual Monyave Comics Festival. And he also wrote two comics-based novels, The Stone King, which featured Batman and the Justice League. Remember for a time they were doing that kind of stuff? And mm-hmm. And also Last Sons, which featured Superman, Martian Manhunter, and Lobo. That came out in 2006. Stone King came out in 2001. Since then, he's written scripts for Renga Media and is now writing, or was at least some point, writing a screenplay for Dominator X. He wrote an adaptation of Kidnapped, the Robert Louis Stevenson novel with art by Cam Kennedy. And also is part of a project that revolved around Edinburgh being the first UNESCO city of literature back in 2007, and has produced various editions involved with that. A version with text adapted for reluctant readers was published simultaneously by Barrington Stoke, and a Scots language translation by Matthew Fitt called Kidnap It is published by Ichiku. He also worked on a sequel project that was based on the, along with the, this was the kidnapped thing, also did a sequel project based on one of Stevenson's other books, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and was commissioned due to the relatively high profile, warm reception of the kidnapped adaptation. In 2008, he released his Bad Press Limited released a comics anthology called Wasted, which was a mixture of drug themed humor and anarchic cartoon action stories, mostly but not all written by Grant. It featured art by many comics artists from the UK underground and mainstream art scene, including guys like Frank Quitely, Jamie Grant, John Howard, and Mark Stafford. The comic showcased many underground artists like Xander, Colin Barr, Tiberius McGregor, that's a name, Alan Kerr, and Kurt Sibling, who is the brother of someone else named Sibling. Wasted was seen as the heir to the previous Northern Lights comics, but gained mixed reviews upon release. And he also set up his own publishing company, this is interesting, back in 2009 called Berserker Comics. With the first title of which was called The Dead, Kingdom of Flies. And then there was another one called Church of Hell, both with art by Simon Bisley. And is still working on doing some of that kind of stuff. And then he teamed with Robin Smith. I'm betting the same Robin Smith. Right?
I think so.
Stands to reason.
British artist known for Judge Dredd and The Bogeyman. Yeah,
There you go. So that makes sense. So they did a series called, a book called, back in 2013, this was, called Scott versus Zombies, which was commissioned by Edinburgh's Art Link. And he also did a Canadian graphic novel called The Locksleys and the War of 1812. I gotta check that out. Anyway, so still busy. In 2016, he and Wagner, again, still friends, created a new comic for BHP Comics drawn by Dan Cornwell. It was called Rock of the Reds, which was the story of a dangerous intergalactic outlaw, Rock of Arcady, who, while on the run, hides on planet Earth by taking over the body and life of a troubled football star named Kyle Dixon. And then in 2020, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, have you heard of it? Grant led a local community project in the village of Monyave, which is where he created his festival, to produce a comic about the virus and the residents' community spirit. So even in his 70s, still doing it. Still getting it done.
Busy guy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it just goes on and on here. It's like, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, yeah. 20s. It's like, geez.
Well, that's so five, you know, he's got over five decades in the business. So it's impressive. I think he was one of the guys who got kind of screwed over by the infamous Denny O'Neill fax firing, where they basically replaced all the people on Batman in the late 90s. Mm. Damn shame, because man, he wrote a lot of great Batman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was the stuff he did with Greg Fogel. That was some of my favorite stuff in the 90s. You know, as I got back into Batman, around the time of the movie, you know, it'd been a while since I had really read much in the way of Batman, and that stuff really, really hit the sweet spot for me.
Yeah, I was, like I said before, I started with, like, right after the movie came out, so yeah. I started a little bit after he started. I didn't realize that the ventriloquist was such a newer character at the time.
Right,
I kind of assumed it was an older one.
It felt like that, right? Like, and that's one of the things that I loved about it is it felt like he was doing the wacky villains of, you know, the Batman TV series, but giving them that edge, right?
Maybe it's because he was in the cartoon so much that I just assumed he was always a villain. Because I mean, he's in that animated series a lot.
Absolutely, because it's a cool visual, right? And
Mr. Scarface,
so good. And you're right. That doesn't hurt, you know. And such a great series too, right? It was a lot to borrow from. And but it always felt like the villains that he created were often, you know, they had that sort of wackiness that you could see where they could have been in the 66 series, but they weren't, and they were definitely modern characters, but they had that sort of retro spin to them.
Well, yeah,
and,
definitely ventriloquist. Maybe not Mr. Zazz.
That's fair.
He would have worked if Adam West.
Yeah, that would have been interesting, wouldn't it? Why are you so citizen? Why are you cutting yourself? Oh yeah! Holy razor blades, Batman!
Holy genocide! Dear.
Anyway, so pour one out for Alan Grant. He had a good run on this title and has left it in good hands, but, you know, has also really set them up with something cool.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, there are a ton of characters for Barry to play with, and the team is solidly established now, so.
Even less some future plot threads for them to play with.
Totally.
Neo running away and everything.
Yes.
You know, I just realized something. Because Stealth's been back for the last several issues, so we don't know where the baby is.
Yeah.
But if the baby had been there in this issue with them at the battle, the baby could have told all of God's peoples, stop, or my mom will shoot.
No! Nice!
There we go.
That is chef's kiss.
I get one more.
Nice.
Oh my goodness. That is probably the high note for tonight.
Yeah, we gotta shut it down, folks. So
it's a note of some kind. It's on some level. We're not sure. I'm not sure which one it is, but it's
fair enough. It's all relative, sir.
Totally.
Folks, send us your feedback. LegionSubstitutePodcast@gmail.com. Head over to the Facebook page. Tell us your thoughts there. Let us know what you think. And other than that, you can head over to LegionSubstitutePodcast.com where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. So there we go.
And with that, we will close out the Alan Grant era of Legion. And next week, we will start the Barry Kitson solo run. We will see you all next WEEK.
LETER.
ALA VIDA.
A la vida. A la vida. That sounds.
Isn't that a Coldplay song?
Yes. It's the song they sing at the end of their concert when they're saying goodbye.
That works.